The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. And man, let me tell you, I am so excited to be speaking with you here over the radio, because God is doing great and mighty things in the body of Christ around the world, and here in the United States of America. God is starting a mighty work here in America, and He has given us an opportunity to turn this nation around for righteousness, and it's something we shouldn't take lightly. You see, in Isaiah chapter 43, Israel, they had been in all kinds of trouble, like, you know, many times they often are. But the Lord spoke to Israel through Isaiah, and this is what it said. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Now, the amazing thing is we can actually take on this same attitude, and God has this same attitude towards the United States of America. And the reason why is because of Christ, Jesus, Israel isn't the apple of God's eye anymore. We, the church, are. Because through Christ Jesus, we have been redeemed, and we have been now adopted sons and daughters of Abraham by faith, which means we're in the family of God, okay? So as the church, we are the apple of God's eye, which means that just as in the times of the Old Testament, when the Israelites, they turned against the Lord, they committed idolatry, they forsook their creator, okay? And then they were brought into captivity, they became oppressed, all of these horrible things happened to them. But then when they turned back to God and they said, you know what, God, we have sinned, we are going to turn back to you, we are going to pursue you, God can't help himself. He responds, I will redeem you. I will rescue you. Right? And so this is what God's saying. Look, don't fear, Israel. I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You are mine. This is what God is doing in America now. Don't fear, United States of America. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. In verse 2, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And let me tell you, for the past several years, we've been in the fire. Okay? Things have not been easy for Americans. Things have gotten worse. Things have gotten bad because, let's face it, the church has been divided. We've been focused on all kinds of things. We have not been focusing on what the Lord has been pursuing for us. You have to remember, God is the one who raises up kings and brings them down. And you can complain about all the corruption in Washington and all these things. The truth is, God allowed Biden to be president, just as now he's allowing Trump to be president. And you may have to ask yourself, well, why would this happen? Well, in many ways, the church has been divided for many years. Many Christians, for example, had treated Trump almost as a form of idolatry, where he became the savior, where he could do no wrong. It didn't matter what he said. It didn't matter what he did, right? He could do no wrong. So many Christians even idolized Trump. And even if Trump was the one that God appointed and anointed, you can't place him in this position where you're basically idolizing him. But in addition to that, the truth is that the fullness of the corruption in Washington, much of it would not have been exposed if things had happened the way that we had planned them, okay? What we have to remember in all things is that we have to trust the Lord in everything, okay? His ways are higher than our ways. But what I want to highlight is that, so in the past several years, yes, it feels like we've been in the fire. Yes, it feels like we've been passing through the waters. But what God said here to the Israelites, right? Even when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Even when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. God did not allow America to be destroyed. He still protected it despite ourselves, despite the fact that maybe we were stubborn, despite the fact that maybe we didn't deserve it. Okay? But God didn't give us this opportunity to turn around, to fix things, because we're so good, because we're so righteous, because we're so great. No. It's by the grace of God, He has given America an opportunity to turn around. So in verse 3, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 3, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead." And why does He do it? "Because you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you." This is why God saves His people. Right? It's not because of anything we did. It's not because we deserve it. It's because God loves us, and because we are precious and honored in His sight. Now that is just such an amazing thing that we really have to take in and appreciate. Something that we're doing at Freedom Fellowship Church is that because of what the Lord is doing, when we celebrate Thanksgiving, we're not just thanking God for the founding of the nation, for what the pilgrims did and all these things. And you know, many people, when they celebrate Thanksgiving, mostly it's about turkey, family, football, right? But at Freedom Fellowship Church, something that we're going to be doing is we're going to be spending time thanking God for this nation and thanking God for what He's doing in this nation now. He's really given us an opportunity to begin turning this nation around and turning it back towards righteousness. And that is such an exciting thing, guys. And so I really encourage you, as you're approaching Thanksgiving, maybe set aside some time, right, to get away from the football, get away from the family, and really just thank God for what He's doing. Because there's so much to be grateful for. Because it's nothing we did to deserve it. It's because He loves us. And because of the grace of God that America is being given the opportunity to turn around. Now, if we go down to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, God says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be another one after me." This is really important because this move of God that He's bringing to America, and again, what the Lord has said to us and reminded us repeatedly, is that the move of God that God wants to bring in this day is one that will be greater than any move of God that has happened in the history of the church. And that this nation will become the most righteous government that has ever had, even more than at its founding. Okay? Imagine our government, the most righteous it's ever had, even more righteous than the time of our founding fathers. So we really have to trust in the Lord and continue to focus on Him. But the other thing too is that, so we're going to be witnesses to God's move. And understand, no one person will be able to take the credit, okay? Not Trump, not any political leader, right? Now, Trump has a part to play in God's plan. But understand this, it will be evident to all of us and to the nations that a move of God happened here in America. And we're going to be witnesses to it. So that's what He says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses. You're going to see this great work that I'm doing. Verse 11. Even I, the Lord, apart from me, there is no Savior, right? No individual person is the Savior. It's me. I, the Lord God, am the one who will uproot the wickedness out of Washington, the corruption out of Washington, who will bring revival to America. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed I and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am He. No one can deliver out of my hand. And when I act, who can reverse it? And this is something that the Lord had promised us, which is that He spoke to Pastor Chris and said this: even if all of the millionaires, billionaires, huge corporations, even if they combined all of their resources, okay, and that's a lot of resources, even if they combined all of it, they won't be able to stop this move of God. And that's such an exciting thing, because that's what the Lord says here in Isaiah. When I act, who can reverse it? But look at what has happened even in this most recent election. All of the media companies have poured billions of dollars into this election, and the American people rejected it outright. Even it didn't matter how much money was poured into it. They rejected it outright. And so something we have to understand is that we have talked a lot about how God intends to transfer influence and affluence away from the world into the hands of the body of Christ. Understand, this transfer has already begun. For example, as we just said in this election, the news media and Hollywood, they've completely lost their influence. People don't trust them anymore. People just ignore them now, right? And if you had gone back 20 years ago and told people that this would be the case, they wouldn't have believed you, right? Because everybody watched cable news. Everybody listened to what the celebrities and all the news anchors said. But nowadays, people ignore them. They don't pay attention to them anymore. So a transfer has already happened to where all of the media influence has already left them and is being spread elsewhere. And the same is happening, by the way, with Hollywood and the movie industry. God's setting the stage also for the gaming industry. Another example, too, think of what is happening in technology. You see, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, all of space exploration happened through government funding with NASA. And now here we are in 2025, the pioneer and the people that are at the forefront of the space technology industry is Elon Musk and SpaceX, a private citizen. That just happened right under our noses, that all of the influence in space development technology transferred from the government to a private individual. See, so there's already a huge transfer of wealth, influence, and affluence that's happening right now. And people in the body of Christ that have been obeying the Lord, that have been following the vision that God outlined for them, they will begin stepping into positions of prominence because God wants to give influence to his body. Because what that unlocks is the ability to transform culture in such a revolutionary way that for generations to come, we will be pointing the way towards righteousness. So many things are happening that are really exciting, brothers and sisters. And what I want to encourage you to do now is, now that we know that this move of God is happening now, that God's given us this opportunity to turn this nation around, and it's by his hand, it's not any individual, what we need to focus on now is that we, the body of Christ, have to look forward towards the destiny that God has laid out for us. We will not waste time, and we cannot afford to waste time bad-mouthing, okay, murmuring, bickering, gossiping about the things that we think are dumb that the wicked people are doing. Oh, can you believe that this person said this? Oh man, they're so wicked. They're so corrupt. They're so this. When we focus on chatting and complaining about what the wicked are doing, that is not productive for the kingdom. You're focusing on the darkness. And I understand because, man, it feels good on your flesh. Oh, this person is so stupid. Can you believe they said this? Oh, this person is so dumb. Oh, they're so corrupt. They're so this. Right? Because it makes you feel better about yourself, because you can put down these other people safely and you can get points for, oh, look, I dunked on this person. Okay? But it's not productive for the kingdom of God. God called us to be light. Okay? We need to focus on being a light, which means we're not focusing on the darkness and gossiping about all the crazy things that we see on social media. We're focusing on what God has called us to do. Okay? In addition, focusing on all the wrongs that have been done. I mean, there are many Christians that are going on and saying, like, oh, you know, when are these people going to be arrested? Oh, these people need bail. This and that, right? And it's like they're out for blood. They're out for revenge. Something that we have to understand in this day. Yes, God will deal with the wicked, but vengeance is not ours. In fact, our goal should not be to seek out vengeance. That is not why we should go out and vote. That is not why we should be getting politically involved. That's not what we should be praying for this nation. Our motivation should not be to, I want to see these people punished. I want to see these people humiliated and destroyed. No, God called us to be light. Yes, the Lord is just and he will deal with the wicked. But remember, vengeance is his, it's not yours. We need to focus on being the light. And the reason why this is important is because think in your own life, all the times that God extended grace to you, right? We're not perfect. All have fallen short of the glory of the Lord. We've acted in ways that are selfish, in ways that are prideful, mischievous, manipulative, greed, lust, control, all kinds of things that we didn't deserve redemption, but God gave us redemption anyway. He extended grace to us when we didn't deserve it. In this time, we need to be willing to act in love, even towards people who wronged you. And I know that that's a hard thing, especially maybe you've been arguing with these people on the other side of the political aisle for years and years, and all that they've done is slander you and say horrible things about you and degrade you and demean you. But you know what? Christ was willing to endure all of that too when he went to the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, right? I mean, they whipped him to where he was bleeding and disfigured. They stripped him naked, hung him up on a cross, killed him, and then mocked him. And he still forgave them and acted out of love towards them. We have to be willing to love others with the same kind of love and grace that God was willing to show to us. And yes, God is just. He will deal with the wicked. But our heart needs to not be a heart that's filled with vengeance and bitterness and hatred and anger. We're not in it to get ours. Because God wants to unite this nation. And there's a lot of people where they're lost. They don't know their right hand from their left. They still are caught up in all of these lies. And maybe you were caught up in lies at one point where you didn't know the truth. Okay? We have to extend grace to those who don't know the truth. We have to be willing to unite people in this nation so that we can come together. That's what's so important. But understand, it really takes a heart of love that God has. And maybe you need to ask God, God, give me compassion for your people that are lost, right? Give me a heart of love for those that don't know you yet, that don't know the truth. Because understand, the calling of Christians is not to try and poach other Christians from other ministries, right? If we're not just supposed to preach at each other, we're actually supposed to go into the world that doesn't know any better. They don't know the truth. So all of those people, maybe they're on the other side of the political aisle. Maybe they don't agree with you and your beliefs. Maybe they insult you and think that you're the worst person ever. Understand, those are the people we're supposed to be reaching. We're supposed to be able to reach out to them in love. And this is something, for example, now that Trump is in office, this is something I've been praying for his heart, that he would have a heart of compassion for people. And you know, I've been seeing it. Recently, in an interview that he had on one of those podcasts during the campaign trail, he was discussing about the whole situation in 2016. Because, you know, in 2016, during the debate with Hillary Clinton, he had this really, you know, viral zinger, right? Where Hillary Clinton was saying, oh man, it would be so horrible if Donald Trump was in the office. And Donald Trump picks up the mic and he says, it's because you'd be in jail, right? And then the crowd went like crazy. And then that clip went viral, right? And so a lot of people had this idea, oh yeah, he's going to get into the White House and he's going to throw her in prison and she's going to get locked up and all these crazy things. And it didn't happen. So during this podcast, Trump recounts that kind of experience. And he talks about why he didn't go after Hillary Clinton. And he said, you know, we had all of this evidence. We had all of these investigations and all these things lined up. We could have put her away for a long time, but I chose not to prosecute her. I chose not to pursue her. And the reason why I chose not to is because I thought it would be so horrible for this nation that the precedents that it was set, that this was a first lady who was in the White House, right? She was married to the president. All these things. She had such this storied history with our government and in America, serving as first lady and as secretary of state. It would be so horrible for this nation for her to go to prison, because I don't want America to be that kind of nation. To be the kind of nation where a new leader comes in and then they go in and they want to lock up all their political adversaries. I don't want America to be that kind of nation. And you see, when I saw that, I thought this is such a good thing, because that's exactly the kind of heart that this nation needs. That even though they slandered, right? Even though they said all kinds of horrible things, I don't want to throw them in prison and destroy them, because it would be horrible for this nation. And this is what I mean when I say we, the body of Christ, have to look forward, right? Not get caught up in offenses, not get caught up in the wrongs or the rights that have happened in the past. We have to look forward. What is best for this nation? What is the best way for us to obey the Lord? Okay? We cannot move forward with bitterness and seeking out vengeance. You're going to end up extending your hand across the aisle and showing grace to others, and maybe they don't deserve it. But you know what? We didn't deserve it either, but Christ went to the cross anyway, okay? This is something we have to remember, guys, okay? For the future of this nation, we have to be willing to be peacemakers. We have to be willing to show love to our neighbors, even our enemies, okay? Even our enemies. Because I know that God really wants to unite this nation. And not only that, think about the times where you've been wrong and you knew you were wrong. But now imagine, okay, I got it wrong. And now you're just dreading the thought, right? The last thing that you want is somebody rubbing it in your face, right? Trying to humiliate you, trying to make a mockery and a spectacle of you. Oh, look, this person got it wrong. See, I told them and this and that, right? That's the last thing you want to happen, right? You would just hope and pray and wish that they would have some grace, that they would try to cover you a little bit. It's like, okay, yeah, you messed up, but you know, we all mess up. At least you understand now. So be willing to extend that kind of grace that you would wish for yourself to others and show them the love that God showed you. The last thing I want to end with is this, okay? And this is something we have to remember, especially in this day, because there will be people that may join us, that may encounter God that we didn't expect. And there's no greater example of this than the Apostle Paul. Because Paul, what was he doing? He was persecuting Christians. He got signed letters from the high priest to go into all these cities and start arresting anybody that called Jesus Lord and started preaching the gospel, okay? I mean, that's what he was doing. He was set to kill and to imprison Christians, okay? So this was a person that would have been an enemy of the church, that would have been persecuting us. And when God encounters Saul on the road, and he says, Saul, why are you persecuting me, right? Saul turns around, all of these things, and Saul gets blinded, okay? So the Lord speaks to a Christian by the name of Ananias. And in Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 12, and now in verse 13, basically, God says to Ananias, he says, look, you need to go to this house here. There's a man by the name of Saul from Tarshish. You need to heal him of his blindness and help him and do all these things. And Ananias says this, verse 13, he says, Lord, I heard many reports about this man, Saul, and all the harm he's done for your holy people in Jerusalem. He's come here now with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name, right? So he's got authority from this governmental figure, right? From this authority figure, and he's going to start wielding, right? So in this day and age, it'd be like if God told you to go and minister to somebody, and now you're saying, God, but don't you know this person has wielded the Justice Department to further these ends, and they've done these corrupt things, and they've done these horrible things. Don't you know what they've said? Don't you know what they've done? But God says this, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer in my name. So Ananias goes to the house, he places his hands on Saul, and what? Saul receives his sight. Saul gets born again. Saul becomes the Apostle Paul. He writes the majority of the New Testament, and the world has never been the same again, right? So if Ananias wasn't willing to obey the Lord, even when he didn't understand it, and maybe he didn't like Saul because of the impression he had of Saul and the bad things that Saul has done in the past, but he was willing to minister to him and point the way to truth and obey the Lord, we need to do the same in this day. So look forward, and we have to get outside of ourselves and what we want, because God has a better plan for this nation. And it's going to be one where we are going to be united. God doesn't care about parties, by the way, okay? God is not a Republican or a Democrat. The kingdom of God supersedes any man-made institution. But you know, it's the will of God, and wouldn't this be so perfect? What if both the Republicans and the Democrats are filled with so many righteous people that no matter who's running, they're all righteous, they all hear from the Lord, they all obey the Lord, to where now we've got to fast and pray, God, which one do I vote for? Because they're both so good. If that manifested, would that not be great? Hopefully this encourages you. Let's act in love, let's be the light, and let's focus on what the future that God has planned for this nation and the body of Christ. Amen? Well, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.